Blog Talk Radio.
Doc from Back to the Future, and he did, was it Rufus, from like a Bill and Ted kind of spoof, and I'll let him explain more what he does, but he's got such a great personality, and there's actually this contest going on where he's actually in second place, and he needs some votes, and I'm trying to help him out as best as I can. And I think the man, the legend himself out there in California, Jack E. Curriton, I hope I said his name right. I think he might be in the queue, so let me bring on. He's been waiting patiently. I am so excited. I'm just jumping up and down right here. Hold on. Hello, Paula. You're on the air.
It's so good to talk to you. Hi, Shelley. It's great to finally talk to you.
Oh, yes. I am so super excited. I'm never going to go to bed tonight.
We have reached out to each other on Facebook and on emails, what, for a couple of years now?
Yeah, and it's really amazing. It's just, I mean, my radio show has given me opportunity to speak to people where I have a toll-free number so it won't work up the cell phone bill.
Well, it's really an honor and a pleasure to finally be on your show and to share a little bit about myself and to talk to you personally. My gosh, I've looked at all your clips and your pictures, and it's like, gee whiz, this woman would hurt me.
No, it's not my intentions. It's kind of like, yeah, don't put me in a corner. Don't put Shelly in a corner. I'm like a wolf, you know. I'm just like, arr.
I saw your post. You were going to go work out before the show tonight, and I don't know if you saw my response. I said I was going to drive over to the refrigerator and get a beer and come back with a pretzel so I could be ready for the show.
Oh, I thought you meant you were ready to go and you just had to go. So that's your workout then, right?
That's my workout. I'd drive to the refrigerator and back if I could.
Oh, what do you got? One of those scooters? What is it called? You sit in the scooters. It's the motor round or something like that. And it'll get you from point A from point B. You can put some Nas, you know, like Fast and the Furious. Put some Nas in that, and that would be awesome. I want to go down a main street and drive one of those. I wonder if the cops would be able to catch me.
I got my clapper for the lights, so I don't have to get up and turn them off and on. The same thing for I got a different frequency for the TV, and you know, I got my help button. You know, I help, I've fallen and I can't get up.
This is like old school, so I don't know if people are going to remember what we're talking about. They're going to think we're doing all sorts of drugs and stuff, talking about all these ancient technology, because as I mentioned before, I am a tech-tard, so I'm kind of like, you know, I'm trying to learn as I go, and I'm so very, very excited because from seeing all your pitches and stuff, you are a character that, well, not just a character yourself, but you are this type of actor where, for me personally, looking at the stuff you've done, it's like I would feel as though if I was a kid, I would really like the characters you do. And it's something that, you know, I've seen, you know, you've been doing kind of like, I don't know, I've been calling them spoofs, but I don't know what you could actually call them because you did something where you were like a professor from Back to the Future. You were like Rufus and stuff. And I want you to tell people about, you know, those things that you've done. And but first, before we get into that, I want to know, how did you get into acting?
Well, when I was growing up, and I said this on my Facebook page, that I saw people like Slim Pickens and Walter Brennan and Wallace Beery and all these old weird character, cranky kind of guys. And I looked at them and, you know, Jack Elam, and I said, wow, those guys are in a lot of friggin' movies and they're working all the time. And so I thought that was kind of cool. Now, I was like 10 years old and my mom and dad, who were teachers, went to New York and they saw the play, the Broadway play Oliver, the musical.
Yep.
And so they really liked it. They brought back this record, and I was like 10 or 11, and Mom thought, oh, he'd be great as Oliver. No, I fell in love with crazy old Fagin. And so the very first play that I ever did was in junior high at the age of 16, was the part of Fagin in the musical, and then I reprised that thing three more times and toured with it. And so I've done over dozens and dozens of stage musicals and thousands of performances, mostly musical leads. But now I'm doing commercials and films, and I really, really enjoy it. I'm working all the time. That's a great thing. You know, people my age, they've either already made it, or by now they can't remember their lines, can't carry a tune, or they've died. So by attrition, I have a chance to win, you know? The numbers are dwindling quick.
I guess it's a positive outlook on it, because if you really think about it, I mean, what I've been thinking about more and more, because I don't know if it's because I am getting older, I'm thinking of, well, of course, I'm into, I mean, it's a whole different atmosphere. It's action, adventure, martial arts, but looking into the people, the guys that I looked through my whole life to try to get onto the show. So it's like when you're talking about the characters that you like, I can totally understand where you're coming from, because it's people that you looked up to that, you know, it's like that's, you know, those are like your inspirations. And I think I tend to see that a little bit in your, you know, in your, in yourself. But the funny thing is, you can look like you're from 40 to 80. And there was a three-minute YouTube thing that I posted. Of course, when I promote someone and help someone out, I take all your stuff and just keep putting everything on my Facebook page. But there was one that was really good. It was a three-minute of you where it's like from age 40 to 80. And it was like,
yeah,
that's really perfect. That's awesome,
yep,
that you can do that.
That is my demo reel, and it's got, I say I've got 13 different characters, age 40 to 85, and the good thing I like about this is I started playing these old characters. I mean, if I think about Fagin the musical, I was 16, and I was playing this, you know, curmudgeonly, cranky, creepy old guy that, you know, pimped kids out onto the street to, you know, get money, and I, you know, now I've just grown into that part, you know. So,
but
the
it's
good
like,
thing about it, the good thing about it for me is like everybody in my family lived into their 90s, and I had three of them that were over 100. So if I was uranium, I'm at a half life. I'll be around torturing the 90210 crowd for decades.
And you're still here, because 90210. That I don't know. I mean, I haven't had a TV for 3 years, so I don't know. I've heard that they brought that show kind of back and they revamped it, but you're still there. You've been doing it for a while, and I've seen your pitches, and you really are an actor's actor. You've done theater, you know, and
yep,
you're doing films. You do commercials. I think you did maybe your Doritos or Pepsi or something. You did a couple of commercials, and I'm like, this guy is crazy. Even your characters, you are a pirate, you know, and anybody that plays someone like Doc from, you know, Back to the Future, they've got to be insane, because he's just fast, and it's like, I just can't just, you just can't not laugh. Do you know what I'm saying?
You like that character where I played the Rufus character in the Super 35 clip. And my friend, Marcus Mo the Mogul, we call him, Marcus T. Owens, has, every 5 years, he does a feature film, and then he does this short of the film that he uses as an invitation to his birthday party. He did it at 25, he did it at 30, and this one was his 35th birthday. It was a huge, huge party out here, big nightclub with, you know, hundreds of people and a, you know, red carpet and all that jazz. But he asked me to do the part of Rufus, you know, the George Carlin part from the Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. And then when he put casting out for a Doc Brown type character, and you know, you've seen my commercials for Dr. I.P. Deller, my crazy Doc character. And I sent him an email, I said, really? You're casting somebody for this and not calling me? And so he said, well, you know, I didn't know if you wanted to shave the beard. I said, no, but we'll get it white. And so if you look at the pictures, you see me with white beard, white hair, and I did that character. But my commercials, the crazy Dr. I.P. Dollar, I call him a PhD of BS, was really not taken from Doc Brown's character from Back to the Future, but from a pilot that I did called Ghost Town. And you can see in my demo some clips from Ghost Town. Think Ghostbusters, but the ghost hunters are these three 12-year-olds.
Yes, that's right. The one with the little kid, you played a little prank on him.
They're the ghost hunters, and I was like the Indiana Jones of ghost hunters. I was their mentor. Now, to go a step further on this, if you look at those clips, first of all, one of the boys is a guy by the name of Gabriel Basso, Gabe Basso. Gabe was had one of the leading roles, co-starring roles in Super 8. He is on The Big C as the son. So he's been in a lot of high-profile movies and parts. And, you know, if I can just follow his, you know, coattails, somewhere he's got to need an old guy in those in those big-budget movies, you know. The girl, Alison Stoner, was well-known because she had done all of the Cheaper by the Dozen with Steve Martin, the movies. Mm-hmm. And she's well-known as one of the Disney starlets, one of the Disney kids. So she's been in a lot of stuff. And so this pilot is over at Nickelodeon and Disney, and they're all looking at it with the potential for it to be a series for kids. The great thing about it, I mean, you know, they said, well, you know, the kids we currently have are getting too old. We'd have to get younger kids. My answer to that is, yeah, but the old guy is going to always be the old guy.
Yeah, you would be perfect for it.
That's the really great thing about it. So I've got, and that's where my character came from for my commercial, Doc Dollar.
Hmm.
You know, the TV spots.
Oh yeah, and it's like it reminds me in the 80s. Well, I'm on East Coast, and there was something where this guy was like something he would be yelling in a store, going, and it's insane, like in the store itself. Like I forget his name was Eddie or something like that. And it's like it's going on, and it's like insane. And it's like when I saw that, I was like, oh my gosh, reminds me of this 80 character. It's like you played the characters that. Stuff that I grew up watching. I mean, even though I always talk about Jackie Chan, but all those 80s movies, those characters, those type of films, because 80s was a really good year for making films, like the sci-fi and, you know, the fun-loving, like the Goonies and stuff like that. And it's like, those are the type of films that you really would fit in. You just have that where, you know, if you do films, I think family can sit down with their children, and then it's like when the children grow up, they can sit and watch your films with their children. It'll like be an ongoing, you know, immortalized thing, and that's what I can see with you with the characters. You're like a fun-loving guy. You bring the energy, and that's what people like. You know, they like to see those characters, and they never forget them. So you're going to always be immortalized in my heart.
Oh, thank you, dear. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. So are you doing any new projects? I mean, what have you been working on?
Oh, geez. Yeah. In July, I'm heading to Atlanta for 6 weeks to be filming. I've got a very nice big featured role in it's the highest budget independent film ever filmed in Atlanta. They got a $13 million budget, and that's like $50 million in L.A., and it's a true story. It's an autobiography about an attorney. It's called Mouthpiece. Formerly, it was called Pimp the Movie. It's about an attorney who becomes a pimp.
Wow, that's really thrilling.
It's a true story. It's from the late 60s, early 70s. This attorney was so broke when he started off that he actually had his office set up in the courthouse cafeteria. And a judge, you know, finds out, kicks his butt out. And one of the top attorneys in town takes this guy under his wing to help him out. And I play this high-powered attorney that is like the mentor to the young attorney. And this is a three-movie deal because the first movie, you know, brings him up to speed. The second movie, he becomes a top criminal lawyer on the East Coast. And the third movie talks about what was known as the Prostitutes Commission. There was like a Congress in Atlanta that in the late 60s, 70s regulated prostitution.
Oh.
And so this is a three-movie deal, and I don't get killed off in any of them, so that's a really great thing.
That's a plus.
And again, since I'm the, you know, the senior attorney that's the counselor, I just grow along with the part.
Yeah, that's really good because the thing is that, you know, older type, you know, characters, it seems like if, you know, the main mainstream. It's usually like 20-year-olds and such. And I mean, most of, like, I think that they show, like, for Hollywood. And after a while, I don't know, maybe because I'm older and I'm not with it anymore, I'm not hip or something, but it's kind of like it gets boring after a while, and I want to see something that people that are older than me, you know, that I can actually look forward to maybe doing something as I'm getting older. You know, I mean,
yeah,
of course,
well,
I can't,
you know,
I can't, you're a guy, but I mean, you know what I'm saying? Do you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, I want to see that, and I'm trying to expand more and look into other type of films, you know, because everybody says be open-minded. So what I'm doing is looking at older characters, and I think I'm actually liking more independent people that I know, like your stuff. I would rather go and watch things that you do than sometimes a high-profile actor. Because it's like,
I mean, look at Expendables. Look at the guys in Expendables and Expendables 2. God, they're 10 years older than me.
Yeah, and look at what they do. I'm kind of like, I'm hoping that someone big that I love is going to be in the third part. But I don't know, because there's an actor in it that I'm not too fond of. And in the Expendables, but I won't get into any detail, but you know, just looking at it, it gives me hope, because I'm going to be 43, and my big dream is to work with Jackie Chan. It's just like one scene. I don't want to fight him. It's just being on set and having some lines, because he's getting older and he wants to do certain types of films, and everybody's like, oh, he's old. And I'm like, it's kind of very disrespectful when you say, oh, they're old. I says, why don't they turn it, like, say, okay, people becoming older. It's like to define someone, but you say, oh, they're old because they're, what, 58, 59, 60? I mean, just because it's like that, you know, decade, I don't consider someone old. I don't even use that term.
Well, I mean, you know, you're saying you're 42. Yeah, Shelly, I got ties older than you.
Great. This is great. Do they smell or something? I hope you clean them.
Oh, clean them regularly. Yeah, you know, they'll come back someday. I'm just hanging on to them until they, you know, they come back in fashion again.
Oh, so were
you
like
what?
A fat rat or something?
you said something to me, and you're talking about, you know, you look at my pictures and you see that picture that I look like General Zod from Superman 2. Terrence
Stamp.
Oh my
God. Yes, I'm just sitting there going, oh, my God, you're like Zod's twin. I'm like, Superman, too. I was like, you're Zod. I'm like, seriously,
well,
the funny thing is, you know how they keep making Superman movies? Well,
yeah.
You know, if Zod is a little bit older, and I know if you can change your hair and everything, and your beard and your mustache, it's all like makeup and stuff, you can play a little bit of an older Zod. You still look young enough. I mean, it's like, I know you could do that. So that's why I'm sitting there going, man, if I could get the money invested, it would be like, you know, they keep playing all these Superman movies. They keep doing them over and over again. But why not bring back the three criminals from Superman 2? And, you know, you're a little bit older and you would, like, kind of fit in.
Well, you would be perfect. You would be perfect as the girl, as a sidekick.
Yeah. I don't know if I would cut my hair.
I know you want to do Supergirl, Superwoman, but I think you'd be much better as you know, his evil sidekick and partner.
Well, that's true. It's like I've done. I think you know what it is. I've been doing stuff, and I don't talk about everything I've done because I've always had to play like a bad character, the loudmouth strong woman, because I can bring it. I mean, I think you might have seen the thing I done from a film called Inventory, and I kept dropping the F-bomb, and it's really scary that character actually scared people. And I'm like, and the director, Justin Fielding, I couldn't make all the showings of the film because it played in a couple of theaters. And they're like, Michelle, you don't just really like that. And Justin's like, no, she wanted to show that she could do that. I wanted to become the most annoying loudmouth, you know, the most annoying person in the world. And they're like, well, that character is very annoying. And it's like, I did my job. That's when I wanted to be the most annoying, ignorant kind of character, just going da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And they're like, wow, that's kind of natural when I was doing it. It's just going on and dropping the F-bomb. And I'm like, first time I saw it, I got scared. And I'm like, oh, my God. But then people are like, Shelly, that's just acting. So, you know, doing those characters, I was like, I want to do leads. Where I want to be the hero. I want to be the good guy. You know, like Jackie does the good guy, and now I'm getting that. That's what I'm doing now. I did, you know, we're doing this film called Falcare. I'm one of the leads. But knowing that, how hot it is, the training, the stunts, and the fight scenes, I don't know how the guys do it. I mean, like, look at, like, James Liu and Jackie and all of them. They're like 59. I don't know how James Liu is, so I don't know if he's – I know James is a little bit older than me, but, you know, other guys like Stephen Lambert, I know he's about 10 years older than me, who I'm actually going to have on my show. He's been doing stunts for many years.
Cool.
MacGyver. Yeah, he's really – if you look him up, his name's Stephen Lambert. Sometimes I post about him on my Facebook page. And I actually talked with him on the phone, and he's like, he's going to come onto my show as a guest. And I'm like, man, now I'm like talking to the people that I grew up watching, and I'm sitting there going, oh, I'm slowly getting the people that I've loved my whole life, and I'm actually getting them on my show. Like, slowly I'm going, this is – like, unbelievable. So I feel so honored, you know, just people want to be on my show. So I'm, like, so thankful, and I'm glad you're on this show with me. So it's like, because I've been wanting to talk with you, and I've known you've had a busy schedule, and I was like, man, am I ever going to get Jack on the show? And you are.
Well, you know, I want to stay on that Zod thing just for a second, okay? And the reason why, the actor who played that is a phenomenal actor, phenomenal British actor named Terrence Stamp. And
he's
in Young Guns. He's been in Young Guns. He was in Elektra. He's been in a lot of stuff. Here's what happened. They cast me. I got cast a few months back to do a high-profile music video for a group out of England called Hot Chip. And Look Where We've Come is the name of the song. And I played an old scientist who creates a fembot because I'm lonely, so I make my own girl, right? Well, I go back and I look at, you know, at research the videos, music videos that this group Hot Chip has done, and the last one they did, they spent like millions of dollars on with Terrence Stamp and this top jazz guy and one of the top models. And, you know, I mean, they spent a fortune on this thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I showed the director that I'm doing the video with. I said, look at my picture, you know, the one I sent you that showed the young me, 18 years younger than when Terrence Stamp played Zod, and then the picture of me 19 years older than when he played Zod. And you can see the transition there. And so I showed this to the director, and he says, oh, yeah, what do you think we hired you?
Whoa.
And I said, oh, it's the four stages of an actor. You know what those are, right? Who's
four
Jack Currington?
So
yeah, the four stages of an actor is, who's Jack Currington? Can we get Jack Currington? Can we get somebody like Jack Currington? And lastly, who's Jack Currington? So I guess I was the, can we get somebody like Terrence Stamp for a lot cheaper?
Oh, gosh. I think you had something about him on your Facebook page, but it didn't dawn on me. I think he...
Yeah, I had friended him, so I've got, you know, I got a thing with kind of a connection with him, kind of like the way you have with Jackie Chan, because so many people say, did you do Superman? And I said,
oh,
I did.
You know, you can play off that. I mean, some people try to do that. It's like, you know, has anybody ever asked you for your autograph thinking you might have been Zod? Has that ever happened?
No. Actually, it did once. They asked if I had done the show, and I said, well, no, it wasn't me. It's somebody that looks like me. But I just before I came on the show, about an hour before I came on the show, I got a request from this guy that's, you know, they have these people that are like professional autograph hounds that, you know, they want to get autographs from famous people. This guy was from Mumbai, India, and he wanted to get my autograph. And, you know, I looked at his connections, and my gosh, he's got famous people all over the world.
Absolutely. I know who he is because he's one of my number one fans. He's on my Facebook page. His first name's LK.
LK. Bajaj. Yeah.
Yes, because he asked me for a picture and to sign it, and he's like, I'm doing, I guess he's collecting for peace. I don't know exactly what he's doing, but he added me to his collection. I go, but I'm not really that big of an actor. I'm just doing independent stuff. And he says, please, I'd like to add it to my collection. I'm like, okay. And so I send it to him, and he added me to his big collection. In his collection, it's huge. And I'm just like,
oh, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Well, he and I went and I looked at his friends, and we have 80 mutual friends, and I'm now looking at you're one of his friends, too. So, yeah, I just went down the page. I'm seeing all kinds of friends and people that I know all the time.
Yeah, it's a small world. They say, what is it, the 6 degrees of separation or 7 degrees of separation, where you're always connected to someone by someone or something, and it's true.
Yep. Well, you know, and out here where I am, we call it small L.A. You know, you can't cough or sneeze without somebody in the industry, you know, saying bless you and knowing about it. Everybody knows everybody out here.
Well, I'll have to make it out there someday, and just like maybe, you know, who knows? You never know where things can happen. It's just that I'm kind of dedicated to this one film right now to finish it, and it's
sure.
It takes a lot of hard work. And I really wish, because when you invited me to go to that party last year in July, I was like, man, I could come in with the bow staff and all this stuff. I'd be like all dressed up like a ninja, and I'm just like, man, I was like, I hope he does another party. But you said it's every five years, and I'm like, that was awesome, though. I saw the video to it.
Yeah, that party was now you're talking about the Super 35 party or the casting rap party for Keystroke Killers?
Oh, the Super party.
Super 35, okay, yeah.
That was
the rollout for Mo the Mogul. For his 35th birthday party, that was a huge, huge bash, and that was the one that he did the movie, the feature film, and then took like I think it was 13 minutes of it, turned it into a video invitation. People can still pull it up on YouTube. Marcus T. Owens, and Super 35. Phenomenal, phenomenal work. The guy is a genius in film. So definitely, you know, you got to look that up. It's funny as heck because it was an anthem to all the 80s movies. And he had everything from, you know,
sweet.
Ferris Bueller, you know, Ferris Bueller's Day Off and you know, Back to the Future and Bill and Ted's Adventure. And so there was a whole bunch of stuff in there.
Oh, I gotta see that. I saw the part, the short film. I saw where you came out of the phone booth. You were Rufus. I saw
part. Just that one little clip. You mean?
Yeah, that's all that I see. So you can actually see the whole thing.
Well, you can see the extended trailer, the invite. That's the one that's about I think 13 minutes long. The whole film hasn't all been edited out yet. We almost got that. A couple of weeks ago, I heard about it, and they said he had to make a couple changes, so we're going to have the full movie pretty soon. But you know what? While we're talking, I will I'll go over to YouTube, and I will grab that link and
post it on
my
wall.
I'll put it on your page.
Sweet. I'm excited now. I'll be watching that. It's like, I was like, you know, on the show tonight, it was like, you know, working like 9 to 10 hours today, then I got to go work out. I was like, man, I got to be back, and I'm all sweaty and smelly. Thank God in radio you can't see, because it's like, I'm such a mess. I was like, you know, I was eating some chicken wings. I was like, boy, I must smell pretty ripe right now. I'm just sitting here going, man, just to have Jack on my show, it was like, man, finally I get you on my show. I'm all hyped up, as if you can tell. I mean, imagine if I was drinking an energy drink right now.
Shelly, we don't have smell-o-vision, so, you know, you're cool.
Yeah, good. Well, I carry deodorant with me. Well, not yet. Not smell-o-vision yet, but, you know, I mean, you can never tell. It's just like, thank goodness, because it's like, it's so funny because it's like, you could sit there be in your pajamas, you could be in the toilet. I mean, you never can tell. Radio is a very good thing.
Well, you can tell somebody's in the toilet because you always hear an echo.
Well, sure. I mean, sometimes it's a little bit echo up here because I'm up in Maine. And let me say, in the winter, I should have just moved to the North Pole. It was so cold in the winter. And I don't know, you must have at least filmed sometime in the wintertime. like outside. We were actually training. You've probably seen the pictures to Falkir in the snow. I might have posted them on my wall. We were actually training a little bit and filming, like, you know how Rocky did, right? You know, he, like, trained and stuff in the snow.
Yep, yep.
We were up in the snow to our knees, and it was below zero with the wind chill factor. And the costume we had, it was our training costume. We had nothing on our arms. Our skin was exposed. It was like, I'm so cold. It's like the North Pole here, and it's out all on this land, open land. So when the wind blew, we had no protection. So I was like, I'm going to pull a Jackie Chan. And I remember that Jackie, to get his face really red, he bends over to let the blood rush to his head. So when he stands back up, his face is like really red, really red. So I was thinking, I wonder if this will keep you warm. So in between takes, I stood up, bent over, curled up in a ball, standing up to keep warm. So it was kind of like I took a Jackie Chan trick and kind of tweaked it for myself so you keep warm on set. And the winter, now I know why they film out in Hollywood, because it's warm all the time.
Well, I'm gonna be in Atlanta, you know, for the movie I told you about, Bob Peace. And then I've got a couple projects I've got to go to New Orleans for. And one is Keystroke Killers. That is a pilot, and they've already got something like 53 of the scripts ready for the series. So they've got like 5 years worth of work all done for this thing when it gets picked up to run the series on it. It's kind of a sci-fi mystery thing, a lot like X-Files approach.
Cool, sweet.
Yep, and then the other one that I've got down there is called Adam, and that is also a sci-fi movie. Same production company, On the Lot Productions. And also, have you ever seen that little demo for my stage show that I am part owner of called The Great and Dreadful Day, Tall Tales from the American Swamp?
No, I don't know. Which one is that? I could have seen it a while ago.
Yeah, I think you saw it. We chatted about it. It is a stage show. As I told you, I've done, you know, thousands of performances on stage. This show is a story about an old blues musician who was born in Baton Rouge, Louisiana in 1923. And this story, it's like this old guy sitting at a bar at Howard Johnson's in a worn-out leisure suit telling the cute barmaid about his life. And so as he tells it in the here and then, or here and now, it's played out on the stage on a sharecropper's cabin and a still and a field and a swamp by the actors who are also musicians who tell the story and play it out in the there and then. So you get to see about the 40s, 50s, and 60s of this guy's life, and it's all original music. Of all the shows I've done, it is my absolute favorite, so much so that I own the production rights and I've produced it several times, and now I'm looking to take it down to New Orleans because I think it would be a great show for a city show for tourists. It has a phenomenal flavor for the South. When I go over to Atlanta to film Mouthpiece, I'm going to be exploring the possibility of seeing about producing it over there, too, and casting it with cast in those cities.
Whoa. You got to take pictures and post it on your Facebook page.
Oh, it's there. I just put the link on your page for the Super 35. I'll also go on my page, and I'll put on the link for the Swamp Opera. That's what I lovingly refer to it as the Swamp Opera.
Okay. Yep, I'll have to watch that Super 35 trailer once we get off the air here. That's definitely, I don't think I can actually watch the radio show and watch it at the same time. I mean, it's probably possible, but I got to give you all my attention tonight because I finally got you on the show.
No problem.
So, like, do you have anybody, like, you know, is there anybody... Well, I know you had mentioned about guys that you have liked, but I think they've passed away. Is there anybody nowadays that is alive that you would like to ever work with on a film set?
You know, I enjoy everybody that I work with. I mean, everybody says, you know, I want to work with Jack Nicholson or Al Pacino. I mean, these are phenomenal, phenomenal people, and I would love to work with just as many people as I can, but I've also worked with especially big names, and I'll be selfish because, you know, just vicariously, it would benefit me by being on the same set or the same stage with those people. But I've worked with people that are phenomenal talents, and you've never heard of them. And so this industry has, you know, so much talent, and it's just a luck of the draw as to whether you become successful or you get discovered. And, you know, I've had people tell me, hey, you're awful lucky. Look at all the parts you got. I said, well, yeah, I find the harder I work, the luckier I get. You know?
That's what it is. It's about hard work. And that's what, you know, knowing people, when people say, well, I know somebody, and I'm like, yeah, well, I know somebody too. It's about hard work and starting from the, you know, some people, they have to work harder than others. It's like not giving. And the other thing that really gets to me, like when they say, I'm paying my dues, and it's like, well, I'm working as a waitress in that. And it's like, I can never understand when people are saying paying their dues. I can say if you're working on stage or doing whatever, I consider that paying your dues. But everybody's got to work, so I think everybody in the whole world are paying their dues. I never understood that. And it says, I'm paying my dues by working as a waitress. So, you know what I'm saying? You see this over the years, people...
Yeah, I just never understood that.
Because everybody's got to work, so anybody that's not in the industry, you know, and they have a family and stuff, you know, what, I mean, don't they, aren't they paying their dues because they're taking care of their family and they're working a blue-collar job? So what makes it any different than anybody that's acting? Because, you know, there's millions of people that want to be like, you know, a superstar or something like that. It's like paying your dues. There's nothing guaranteed. It's like, you know, to be a Tom Cruise or something like that. That's like winning a lottery ticket. You know, that's something where I just don't think about it. The way I talk, I think people get the wrong impression, think like I want to be a superstar or something. Oh, no, that's not what I got into acting. I wanted to work with Jackie. You know, that's what I really wanted to, and it was just, you know, like one scene. But I was thinking when I first got into it, and people were like, no, Jackie won't pay attention to you because you're a no one and no one this. The funny thing is, I don't know if you see me post on my wall about one of my film brothers. I call it Jay Giannone. He actually was in The Iceman. He's playing. He's getting all these parts. He worked with Jason Statham and stuff. And I actually called him up. He was actually at a baseball game out in California because he's doing a lot of films and stuff. He gets parts. And, you know, I said to him, I called him up, and I was so distraught. I was, because people saying, you know, martial arts is not normal. Everything that I was getting into, people kept saying it's not normal and blah, 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 this and that. So I was so distraught. And I called him, and he had no idea. And he was one of the first people, and mind you, he's out there, and he's actually getting more and more work. You know, he's working on sets, and this isn't just as an extra. He's actually getting work. So he's out there, and I was like, I'm sorry to bother you. He says, oh, no bother. And I was like, I just want to know, do you think it's impossible, you know, for me to work with my idol Jackie Chan? Now, he didn't like, make fun of me. He didn't pause or anything. He goes, yeah, I think it's possible. You just got to work for it. And I just believe anything is possible, but you got to work for it. And it's hard. And after doing Valkyrie, going, oh, my God, it's harder than I can imagine because I'm doing these things. And, you know, I just believe somewhere down the road I'm going to get on a set somewhere. And people are always sending me stuff about, you know, I think I'm losing my point here because every time I get on the thought of Jackie Chan, I'm, like, losing my point. But I think it's just that we're really lucky to be able to do even 1% of our dream, you know, and not becoming a superstar. You know what I'm saying? I think that's my whole point here where, you know, if you get to do a little bit of your dream, you're blessed because there's a lot of people. Huh?
Yeah, see, you've got a dream. You've got a phenomenal talent because I've seen your work and I've seen, you know, the pictures, I've seen the vids and stuff you do, and you've got a lot of talent. And like I said earlier in the very beginning, I looked at these people like, you know, Slim Pickens and Jack Elam and, you know, Wallace Berry and Walter Brennan and, you know, the old character actors. And the thing that astounded me was that they were always working. And so I am living the dream, and my dream is to always be working.
Yeah. That's a good thing. If you're always working on no matter what it is, then that's a blessing.
And if it's not somebody else's project, as you know, I've made some of my own, like, you know, this, as I call the Swamp Opera, which I put the link on your page also. That show, you know, I'm setting up to take down and cast down in New Orleans, possibly Atlanta. We've got music getting scored right now. And I will cast people and even cast replacements for myself and the other lead so that if we can get the thing running on an indefinite run, then that show will run and we'll look at maybe setting up a touring company even.
That's kind
of
cool.
That is just looking for something to do.
Oh, I know. Before, it's like, you know, I'm forgetting, like, because everything always goes above my head and below my knees or whatever. But now that I have you on the phone, because you're like, way more experienced and stuff. Now, I can talk, and I have a show, and I have a following, because I see that, you know, a couple thousand people always end up listening to my shows and stuff like that from different places. Now, I know people are paying attention to me and stuff. The thing that I want to know, because I'm not really business smart, that's not the thing that I have. How the heck do you get somebody, you know, how they have like Kickstarter, Indiegogo and stuff, how do you get to bring money, like people to bring money to help you pay for your film or whatever it is that you're doing?
Well, let me explain something here. I'll give you a little background for myself. I was a professional actor and did a lot of touring, a lot of stage work, and a lot of voiceovers and commercials and stuff back in the Midwest and the East up until my mid-20s. And life happened. And by that I mean I fell in love and I got married and then I had to get a job. And I spent the next 30 years not going near a stage or a set. Now, I helped build the company from 800 clients to 35,000 clients to become the largest service organization of its type in the world. I gave trade shows. I was in charge of trade shows, productions. I was the VP of association development. I was published dozens of times in journals and professional trade journals, things like that, as an expert in sales and finance. And so you have to realize when people say they're paying their dues, well, to me, sales was acting just to a smaller audience and a bigger regular paycheck. So I was still honing my craft just on a regular basis. So when I got back into acting and got off the corporate gerbil wheel in 2005, I hit the road running, and I've been nonstop busy ever since. And so I lived in business, and a lot of people make a mistake. You know, right now I'm promoting this contest that I'm in for the National Actors Demo Reel.
Uh-huh.
They had, you know, they're, real quick, the story. The E-Talent Showcase had a contest going on, and they had thousands of submissions of actors' demo reels, and the judges chose what they thought were the top 10 in the nation to then have people vote on. And I was fortunate enough and honored to be one of the top 10 with nine other extremely talented people in the craft. And now that we have those top 10 there, it now is open up for the public to vote. And by vote.
Yes, that's what I've been promoting. Okay, I know what you're talking about now. And they're trying to promote.
Yeah, they're trying to promote these actors and promote the top one. So it boiled down after the judges chose what they thought were the top 10 out of the thousands. Now they allow the public or the Facebook public to go on there and vote for what they feel is number one. And I had one of the actors send me a private message and blast me, saying, well, just because you have 4,800 friends, what kind of actor does that make you if you win this? And I think he completely missed the whole heart of the story. It has nothing to do with having friends, but every actor that is in a movie, when tickets are bought at the box office, that's people voting for that actor. I mean, Iron Man 3 does $175 million on the first weekend, and yet another movie may only do $17 million. Now, Iron Man may have a lot more explosions and technical expense, but are the actors really 10 times better than the actors in the other movie? And the answer to that really is, it's marketing. So I've always lived by the philosophy, because of my background in business, that it is not show you, show me, show art, or show off, it is show business. It is a business, and most people miss that. And if you don't understand that as a producer, as a director, as an actor, as someone in the biz, you are destined to fail or go bankrupt or lead a very unhappy life, you know, eating top ramen.
Yeah, but you know what it is, too, when you said someone has blasted you, I tend to notice the stuff that happened to me, too, I don't talk about it that much, and you just get to the point where, you know, I've been on the internet and doing stuff for 10 years, and I've realized that there's going to be people that don't like you, and there's going to be people that you do like you. And no matter what in this world, you cannot please people. Or once you get into this place where you're really happy with what you're doing, there's always going to be someone that is just going to be unhappy because you're happy. So I think that's basically what it is. And it's like people say, oh, it's haters, haters, haters. And I'm just like, okay, whatever it may be. I think if sometimes what happens is when people are really unhappy with their lives, they go on and all they do is just complain about other people that are happy. And I think that's what it is, because they're unhappy with their own lives.
Well, I've always felt, you know, when you point one finger, you have four pointing back at yourself. So all you're trying to do is project your dissatisfaction, your angst, your troubles onto somebody else, and really it's just you. I'm not going to argue with somebody. I mean, you should never argue with people in public. From sales and management, you know, I mean, my payroll number was 90, and when I retired, we had 4,600 employees. So I had to deal as a manager, VP, with an awful lot of people. And sometimes you got to hug them, and sometimes you got to kick them. And you praise in public, you criticize in private. You don't get into a spitting contest in public with people. It's not like I'm the jackass whisperer.
Yeah. Or it's like, you know, what people don't get, like when I talk about films, it's not the actors that like, because I don't know them, right? I don't know an actor in their personal life that has nothing to do with that. When I'm talking about, you know, the action films, and everybody's like, well, you're not a big super action person. It's like, I says, no, I've been watching, you know, many different great films, not just Hollywood films, and a lot of the action films that I've seen overseas are a lot of Asian action films. And the difference is overseas with the Asian action films, they're kind of nuts when it comes to, you know, the action, and they're really fast. And if I sit there and talk about it, people tell me, oh, Shelley, you should be open-minded, when they want me to, like, watch Twilight or something like that. And I'm like, okay, I tried watching it, and I still didn't like it. I said, I'm sorry, but, you know, a pale, skinny guy like that, Edward, first enough, the people in the show, I'm old enough to be their mother to change their diapers, so it's kind of like jailbait for me. And the second thing is, I'm sorry, but you just cannot compare with the guys that I like Donnie Yen and Michael J. White. I mean, those are men. Do you know what I'm saying? Guys that are my age. Why am I going to look at something like Twilight and just say, like, oh, I'm interested? I just cannot find the attractiveness towards it. People say to each their own. But when I says people, like, oh, say to me, Shelley, be open-minded. But when I say, okay, like, you know, be open-minded. Here's a film by Donnie Yen, and it's over in another country, and all this other stuff. Yet, no one's going to come back unless they're into Donnie Yen. Do you know what I'm saying? No one will be open-minded that don't watch those films. So it's like, you know, what's the saying, good for the goose, good for the gander, whatever it is. People will be like, oh, Shelley, be open-minded, but when I say something, people are not open-minded to the things I talk about, you know, like Bollywood and all this other stuff that I've been learning about. It's like, the more open-minded you are, like, I don't know if I could go to a movie theater to pay $15 to cry and see a drama. I'd rather wait at home, because I am the first one that will cry. That's why I can't go see the films in a theater, because I will cry. It's just how I am, and it's embarrassing because I'm really loud. I'm like, no, because the characters, you collect characters in a film, and if someone dies of that character, I'm not saying it's the most, you know, handsome or the most beautiful woman in the world, but when I like a character in a film and they die, I get pissed off, and I'm so pissed off. I know it's the film. I don't like coming out of the movie theater a mess. Like, there was a couple of roles where Jackie Chan actually died, and I'm like, Jackie Chan, like, I just can't watch Jackie die, and he did a good performance, and, you know, I was like, I just can't do that, because if I saw you in a role, Jack, and you died, I wouldn't like it. I'd be like, Jack, die, no.
I'm going to have to post the picture. I came across the picture of my doing Man of La Mancha on tour back in 1974 or 5. And there I am sprawled out on the stage when he dies. So I'll have to post that on your page.
No, you're going to have me crying. I'd be in the shower going, no, Jack, you can't die. I'm just saying that because I'm like, because it's like, I know I shouldn't take it personal. I'm like, it's just a film. I said, no, I just can't. Like, the end of the film of Titanic, right? You know, like, everybody in the world
you were
you know,
mess,
Leo
right?
died. I'm like, are you serious? You're telling me that big huge board, they couldn't fit two on there. I'd be like, okay, let's balance. It's like, really? I'm still pissed off at that movie to this day.
Leo was so, you know, thin, Craig. He did, what did he weigh, like 90 buck 05 maybe or something?
Yeah. You're telling me he couldn't fit on that board with her because they could have balanced it. And I'm like, seriously? I was like, what the heck? And it's just like, no, I'm still disgruntled. That's why I just don't like the film Titanic, how they ended. I think they did it for shock value, but it's like, why couldn't he have lived?
You may not want to see Pterodactyl then when it hits Sci-Fi Channel because I get eaten. But there's a special ending, so I'm not really giving a spoiler, but you're going to, you know, start tearing up a little.
Don't even say you, like, die or something, because I'll go mental. I'll put my head through the wall going, no, Jack. I'm going to have a meltdown. You just can't die. You just, like, because you're lovable characters, and it's like, what, do you remember Jurassic Park, and there was a guy, he actually, I think, saved the kids, and the dinosaurs ripped them in half, and I was like, oh, it was like some, I don't know, they grabbed them, and they just, like, they bit them in half, and I was like, why did he have to die? He saved the kids, and I was so mad at the film. I says, I'm never going to watch this film ever again. And I'm just like, why did they do that? I don't like when certain characters die off, and it's like, I'll never watch this film again, or I'll have to fast-forward it. Like,
Shelley,
no?
you want to be in action movies. People always die in those.
No! Jackie don't die like when it's an action film. His is all different. He's like the happy-go-lucky, but the funny thing is, you can always tell, like, since I know so much about Jackie Chan, right? And if you notice it, like, all of my favorites are all named Jack. It's like Jack Curtin, Jackie Chan, Jack Bauer, which 24 is coming back next year.
I saw your post on that said Jack is back, and I thought you were talking about me. I'm like, hey.
Well, yeah, I can use that, too. It's like, yeah, you should get on that show, but be careful. They kill everyone. They do. They don't hold
that's
back
a great,
after a while.
A great, yeah, but that's a great thing about the industry. You know, you show up somewhere else.
Yeah.
If you die well, you know. Well, look at Sean, was it Sean Bean? My gosh, the guy, there's a video about him on YouTube about him dying. I mean, there must be 80 different ways that he dies.
Yeah,
have you seen that?
He's probably famous, known for dying.
Yeah, he gets killed off in everything. I mean, all right, you remember Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, why? Why does he have to die?
You remember Lord of the Rings, right?
Yeah.
It's called Sean Bean Died in Every Movie. I just pulled it up. It is the funniest clip. It's like 3 minutes. 3.5 minutes of Sean Bean dying in everything he does. You know, have you followed Game of Thrones?
I haven't seen that yet, but is he in that?
Yeah. And they're in their third season now. And I've read all the books up to where they are. They've got 5 books out. And I've read the first 5 books and love the books. Enjoyed the heck out of, well, at least the first 3. The last 2 were, you know, kind of like watching grass grow at points. But, I mean, this author is so phenomenal. But, I mean, he could take a whole chapter of reading you the ingredients on a bottle of Coke. <You know? laughs> So, all right, I'm gonna put the Sean Bean dies in every movie clip
on my Facebook?
Shelley's page.
Oh Lord. Oh Lord, Jack.
I've got my swamp opera on there for you. I've got Super 35, and now you're gonna find Sean Bean dying and everything.
Oh, I'm gonna be mad. I'm gonna put my head through the wall. I don't like that one character design that I like. It's just not right. I had a meltdown when Jackie was playing. It was actually a true story about a trucker, and he's not an action hero, but he was kind of like a hero. And I think it was during the 80s. It was based on a true story, and it was not a typical Jackie film, and he, like, dies in the film, and I'm having, like, no, I just, like, I'm such, like, there's a couple of films where he actually died, and I'm just like, no, and it's the stuff, it's like, he gets shot with arrows in another film, and I'm like, oh, God, I'm glad I didn't see it in the movie theater. I'm just a big mess, and I actually went to go see Karate Kid in the movie theater, and he's like, they did the remake, which was really well done, of
right.
The Karate Kid, and he played the Mr. Miyagi, Mr. Hand, right? And
yep.
He's sitting
yep.
in his car pot with with Jaden Smith, and they're both crying, and then Jackie's crying, and I'm like, I'm just crying like an idiot in the movie theater, and I'm surrounded by all kids, and the kids were all looking at me. And it's like, and the kids were all quiet, just like, like, looking at me and going, I feel like such an idiot. I'm crying over Jackie Chan in the film. Oh! I just can't see Jackie Chan cry. I just, like, lose it.
You know what? I need to get serious with you right now.
Okay.
I was just looking at our mutual friends, and you have a friend by the name of Pamela Glazner. You know who Pamela is?
She interviewed Jackie.
Well, Pamela Glazner.
She wrote a book, right?
She wrote a book, but she has a movie that has won accolades around the world. It's called Last Will and Embezzlement, and it's a documentary film about people taking advantage of seniors in nursing homes or their family members. It is the most moving thing. And one of the stars is a friend that I've worked with and I know pretty well. This whole story is all about just the horrible senior abuse. Did you see any of that at all or?
No, I just, like, I think I friended her. Wasn't she the writer? She got to go on set and write about Jackie Chan?
You know, I don't remember that one, but I do remember about, you know, this movie that is, it's just been in film festivals everywhere, and it's just gotten so many accolades and so many awards they actually show this at seminars for senior citizens so that, and then they have bankers and estate planners and stuff to help people understand how to protect themselves.
Hmm.
Yeah. The story, one of the stars of the story, Mickey Rooney, who I actually had to do a commercial for the company when I was in the corporate world, he did a commercial for us.
Huh.
And, he was horribly taken advantage of by someone that he put in charge at a position of trust, and they really almost completely cleaned him out. They really, took advantage
horrible.
Of him. Yeah, yeah. So you go on her page, but promote this, and you should have her on your show just to interview her about this. It's called Last Will and Embezzlement. It's just gotten phenomenal reviews and awards and recognition worldwide.
Oh, wow. I'll have to check it out. Am I going to cry a lot? I bet you I'm going to cry.
Yeah, probably. This one will get you.
Oh, yeah. I'll sit there and cry. I'll just have to make sure I'm watching it by myself. I know it's a serious matter, but I'm such a blubber and idiot when it comes to things like that. I just, forget it. Put what's her name, Sarah McLachlan with the thing with the animals, that song, forget it, I just lose it.
Oh.
Well, you know which one I'm
yes,
talking about. It's
yes,
animal.
And they did it for the shelters, and oh my gosh. They made so much money on that commercial.
Yeah, it's like insane. It's like they go, I Will Remember You. I think that's the name of the song. And I'm sitting here going, as soon as you hear it goes, I Will Remember, you just want to cry because they show the animals
concrete,
in the cage.
Concrete Angel, wasn't it?
What was it? Oh, yeah, something like that. And I was just like, there's so many of those commercials on, like, YouTube. And it's like, you know, I mean, I know about so much abuse and stuff like that. I know what goes on in the animal world, and I had to get to a point to delete some of the things that I was like, you know, part of those charities and stuff, you know, having on my Facebook page, because we all know about animal abuse. We all know about it and stuff like that. But they were getting to the point of showing very violent things like the skinning of animals and stuff, and it's just like, I don't want to see that, like, really bad stuff. And it's like, why don't they just talk about it? But it was like, it was just too much. Like, I'm very much aware of what happens to animals. I am an animal lover and stuff like that, but when they're showing those pictures, I you know, of course I know about it, but it's time to, they keep showing the worst pictures, and I don't want to see that. I know it's out there in the world, but why am I going to go and start crying my eyes out? And if little kids are going to go to that page because you think a charity place that's going to help animals, you're going to have kids seeing that. They're going to be like, oh, you know, and if they go see that and that's on their Facebook page, that's not healthy for little kids to see. That's going to affect them, because if I know how it would affect me, you know.
It was Sarah McLachlan with her song Angel. That was a major SPCA and animal cruelty campaign. And, my ex-wife and I, were the point people for the Samoyed Sammy Rescue in North L.A. County. So we would go to the animal shelter in Lancaster, Palmdale, and also the one over at Cascade Lake. And anytime they would call us and tell us that it looked like somebody dropped off a Samoyed dog, you know, there are people that do that for pit bulls and for, you know, Great Danes and all kinds of different dogs. And so we were the point people in North L.A. County for the Sammy Rescue. But and it's heartbreaking when you go in and realize you're looking at a mixed Sammy and Shepherd, or you're looking at an Eskimo, which is looks like a Sammy, but it's a lot smaller. So our job was to rescue the Sammys. And we foster them, bring them into our house until we could find a home for them.
Hmm.
And it's heartbreaking to go into the shelters and, you know, see hundreds and hundreds of dogs, realizing that, you know, some of those are not going to be here tomorrow because their time has run out.
Oh.
And now I'll see if I can get you to cry on your own show here. But
yeah,
anyway.
I know. I see that. And it's like, you know, about the animals and the kittens and stuff like that. It's kind of like, how much can I really do? Like, there's so many things that I want to do in this world, and I actually did a video on OMG or something, and it was to talk at the United Nations building in New York, because one of my other big dreams is to go to the United Nations and talk in front of all the countries, and this is another crazy dream, and it was like 8 issues of the GMD or something, whatever list, and one of the things I want to talk was against, you know, like about racism and stuff, and I want to talk about, you know, animals and so many different things, but I guess you're going to be really big to get to the UN and stuff, and, you know, animals, I mean, it's kind of like even my own backyard, because like where I live, people throw cats away. Like, there was, like, one cat who got his tail chopped off, one cat, you know, got his eye poked out, and other things. And it was, like, it's really sad. And all I can do is, you know, do my pot in my own backyard and just feed them. And
right.
That's how I got my cat, Jackie Chan. My cat's name is Jackie Chan, and here I am, you know, she showed up and she yelled at me. She went, wow, and took off. And I'm like, what the hell's up with this cat? And she kept showing up, and I'm like, she kept getting close. I go, oh, you want some food? And I've got pictures of her. She was like this skinny little thing. Next thing I know, she's in my house, and I have a cat. And then I just saw that one cat. I think someone owns him. His name is Chico. He's a one-eyed cat. He's a black cat. He has one eye. He keeps coming by, and I'm like, hi, baby. He's like, meow. I posted videos of him and stuff, and they just keep showing up. Now, where I live in Maine, it's quite possible a moose could come in my backyard because I get
sure.
one here. You know, imagine me from being from Boston, seeing this big, huge thing that's like a truck just stick their head in my window. Can you just picture that? You screaming bloody murder, what the hell is that? Because they're huge, like they're the size of Humvees or something, and they're just very big animals. I had missed it. There was one in my backyard, and I guess it came out because I live near a river, and I guess it was black fly season, and I think it was female, came out and was in my backyard, and my superintendents were like, yeah, Shelly, you missed it. We had to call the police and everything because it was going to the traffic, and they had to, like, get it and push it back to the river. And I was like, man, I missed that. I wanted to see that sucker. So anyway, because it's like it is getting a little late here. You know, we got so tall. We got, like, you know, sidetracked talking about so many different things. But before I let you go, is there anything, can you tell people where to go to vote, anything else you want to promote before I let you go?
Yeah, it's going to be on your page. All they have to do is I've set up an event page to please vote for poor Jack Thornton to help win this contest. And right now, I got the lowdown this morning. They said that it's now a close race, but last week I was in third place. And now over the weekend, I've closed to within less than 25 votes between first and second place. I'm in second place, and I'd love to make first place. Because this is a huge, huge honor to be in this. It's an honor. It's a huge honor to be one of the 10 out of the thousands that were reviewed. But the fact that, you know, I'm in at the top five or the top three here is terrific. So it's on your page, and all people have to do is go on there, click vote. They can vote once a day. The voting ends next Monday, the 20th, and they'll announce who the winner is in this. People can see my demo reel, if they go to my page that I set up. And you'll get a chance to see 13 different versions of me, age 40 to 85, in less than 3 minutes.
Yeah, I've seen that. That's really awesome. I loved it. And I want you to, like, you know, I definitely got to get you back on the show because I was having a ball with you here and stuff. And, you know, it's just really great. Finally, get to talk to the man, the myth, his legend, Jackie Currington. How do you say your last name? Did I say it right?
Close enough. Currington.
Currington. And, you know, I'm always going to think of you as Zod.
I can't help it.
You can tell Terrence is like, I know this actress, she's crazy over Jackie Chan. She can't stop calling me Zod.
Well, thank you very much, Shelley. I appreciate the honor. It is such a pleasure to talk to you finally.
Well, thank you, and, you know, we'll be definitely talking on, you know, Facebook here and there, and I got to check everything out for you, and, you know, I just am very thankful and honored to have had you on my show. Thank you so much.
You're quite welcome. Look forward to doing it again sometime.
Okay, well, you enjoy the rest of your night.
Thank you, Shelley. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. Yes. Finally, Jack, the man, the myth, the legend himself, finally, after so long, being able to talk with him. I guess this radio show, it is kind of a blessing, but you can actually go and vote on his page and such and check him out. And I'm telling you, he's very talented, the man set those characters that you just fall in love with. And right now, I'm a very, very tired Shelley. So I'm going to end the show, and, you know, it's something, I like playing this song a lot. Not only is it something that I take to heart with, the song's called Battle Song, and actually, to me, it's kind of a big deal. It's just something, you know, I'm not this big, huge superstar, but being able to do part of my dreams, I feel very lucky, very blessed. I'm going to end the show with the song Battle Song, and it actually is going to be in a film that I am in. I'm one of the leads, and it's called Falcare. You can actually go and check it out. And if anybody wants to donate money towards the film, to let you know, we are now, I think, almost halfway through, I think, because we're going to have to start doing the armor. And we really want to step up a notch and make it as real as possible. So if anybody wants to donate money to Falcare, you can actually go to that page and you can check it out. I am there, and you can actually see pictures of me in the snow and the other girls, the other leads in the snow. And this song, Battle Song, is done by Director Z, Horace Accord Weezer himself. He is an accomplished musician. He does sing with his beautiful, lovely wife, Sonari. So everyone out there that has a dream, just remember, you are as good as anybody else. You should at least try and go for it. And just remember that. Anyway, everyone, enjoy the rest of your night, wherever you may be, whether it's morning, afternoon, evening, just enjoy your life. And it is a blessing to wake up every day. So anyway, I'm a tired, Shelly. Everyone, talk to you later. Bye-bye.